You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
It is indeed. Welcome along to the Punt podcast here from William Hill. Dave Kellner, Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern ready and waiting to take you through the 10 Premier League games this weekend. First of all, a warm welcome to Derek McGovern. Good morning to you, sir.
Morning, Dave. I'm surprised you've asked me back on after last week's humiliation.
I wasn't going to bring it up until the first game we're previewing, Derek.
Go on then, don't then. Save me.
And Tom, welcome.
Thank you very much. I've just got over the thrill fest. That was Monday Night Football, Red Monday. I'd just like to say, in this overhyped 24-hour media world where things are hyped up to within an inch of their life, let's just put an end to that now, which is why I'm glad to be a guest on the world's greatest football podcast, The Punt. always delivers.
Not going to dispute that for one second, Tom. Not going to dispute that. We've got 10 games to look at, as per usual. We'll start with the live televised Premier League games. And Bournemouth versus Spurs is first up. This is a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. Bournemouth are 14-5. The draw 13-5, Tottenham even money. The enhanced odds, Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 5-1, now 7-1. Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win was 11-4. That's been enhanced to 4-1. They were fortunate last week, Bournemouth, only beating Hull 6-1. That was Derek's nap on the podcast last week. I got a minute in without mentioning it. Spurs managed to maintain their unbeaten record with Dele Alli grabbing that late equaliser at the Hawthorns. They drew that game 1-1 and have subsequently drawn 0-0 with Bayer Leverkusen in the Champions League. Tom, Spurs won both fixtures last season against Bournemouth. They scored 8 goals in those two fixtures, but Harry Kane got 5 of them. Mm. He's not going to play in this game, and I wouldn't think, even though reports have suggested Toby Alderweireld's making progress, I don't think he's going to be fit for this game either. So Spurs stretched a little bit.
Big blow that, you know, at both ends of the pitch. I mean, I think Pochettino's dealt with the absence of Harry Kane very well, and just in terms of how he's reshaped his side a little bit. And Alderweireld, though, is a big blow. He's not missed the last 46 Premier League games, and that's the wonder of Tottenham. Really, has been this ability to name, you know, a near unchanged starting lineup, and you know, players like that. Deservedly so. You know, the players haven't you know, deserved being dropped at any point, and obviously they're unbeaten this season. But I think Pochettino's got that way about him. You know, everyone knows where they're at. Everyone knows where they're playing. And they're just a well-oiled, well-drilled machine. And even with an absentee like Harry Kane and another one with Alderweireld, they should have no problems in this game. I was looking back at Pochettino's record against teams in the bottom half of the table, particularly away from home. And in the last two seasons, they've lost just one of 20 matches against teams in the bottom half of the table. Away from home. And nice. I would class Bournemouth sort of in that bracket. And that only defeat, by the way, was against Newcastle at the end of the season, where they pretty much, their heads had gone, hadn't they? So I think they'll be way, way too strong for Bournemouth. And I actually think this is one of the best bets of the weekend. Plain and simple, Tottenham to win. I know Bournemouth had that you know, the great victory over Hull, but Hull were absolutely dreadful. And, you know, and aside from that, you know, I'm a big fan of Bournemouth, but I think they're going to be, you know, overpowered here. And a bit similar to how Manchester United didn't really have to break sweat against them, I thought, earlier on in the season to win down on the South Coast. I think it'll be similar for Tottenham. Again, it's not Tottenham's style to win 3-0 and 4-0. I know they do it very occasionally, but I think you're looking at 1-0, 2-0, but definitely a Tottenham win. And it's around the even money mark, isn't it? That's brilliant.
It is even money. Yeah. Tottenham to win 1-0 is 15-2. Tottenham to win 2-0 is 9-1. And of course, you can combine those two bets by going Tottenham to win and under 2.5 goals, which is available at 100-30. Tottenham to win and the unders on the goals. I think those people, Derek, that were nervous about having backed Hull to finish bottom and be bottom at Christmas, etc., 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 and they were nervous that they performed admirably in the first 3 weeks of the season, they'll be rubbing their hands together with glee now, because I think Bournemouth took advantage of the worst side in the Premier League last weekend.
My nap, yes. They were absolutely shocking, weren't they? I couldn't believe it. I thought we still had a chance of 5-1 down, but when the 6 went in. You know what? I'm not... I'm just... I can't do anything right at the moment. You know, those Reader's Digest things you get through the letterbox says you may already be a winner. I go on yesterday and said you may already be a loser. I mean, it's just, yeah, you know, a woman I fancied for ages phoned me last night and said, come round, there's no one home. I went round and there was no one home. I'm just having no luck whatsoever. I cannot do a single thing right. And I tell you what, I mean, if it's any, I know how punters' minds work, and when they're in hell, they want company. Well, I'm in hell too, because I've been losing a few bob this Premier League season. I couldn't wait for August to come round, because I thought, you know, Premier League, it's my specialty. I always win a few bob on it, but I'm doing me conkers at the moment. But I'm going to get a lot of it back this weekend, because Spurs, what Tom says is right, Spurs are even money. I'm really surprised they're evens here. I fully expected deep odds on territory, maybe even 4-6. The odds compilers are getting too worked up with that Bournemouth result last week. I mean, you know, I could have put a pub side together that could have beaten Hull the way they played last weekend. And you know, Man United, you're right, Tom, they didn't break sweat to beat Bournemouth, and Spurs are a better side than United. I've been prepared to back Everton in this fixture, Bournemouth v Everton, at around 6-5 the last two times they've played there. So I'm definitely going to be backing Spurs. And you're right, the injury worries they've had, they seem to have just got by without any problem. Harry Kane has barely missed. Eric Dyer came in midweek at Leverkusen, did a great job in defence. The goalie's been out a few times, he wasn't missed, and he's had a blinder of a season. It's just that you're right, a well-oiled side and a very, very good side as well. And they will beat Bournemouth, I think. Look, those two fixtures last season, by the way. 8 goals scored, only one conceded. I think this is going to be a comfortable Spurs victory.
If you fancy Spurs, they are even money. Maybe look at Spurs -1, given what the chaps have said here. 23-10, Spurs -1. And just quickly, if you're looking for a goal scorer in the game for Spurs, Christian Eriksen is 21-10. He's had 24 attempts on goal this season, but hasn't scored yet, so he's due. And Eriksen 21-10 to score any time in that match. Liverpool versus West Brom is next, Saturday 5:30. Liverpool 100-30 on in the betting. The draw 9-2 with West Brom 10-1. Enhanced odds offers, Sadio Mane to score and Liverpool to win was 23-20. It's now 6-4. And Nasser Chadli, who's been in fine form for West Brom, for him to score and West Brom to cause the upset at Anfield, that was 18-1. It's now 25-1. Derek, Jurgen Klopp's hand was probably forced on Monday night with the lack of fitness for Adam Lallana and had to play Daniel Sturridge up front. When Sturridge was withdrawn and Lallana came on in that second half, they looked such a different team with Roberto Firmino playing in that number 9 role. And I think Lallana probably will be back to full fitness for this. I can see Daniel Sturridge being forced out of Liverpool by the end of the season.
Yeah, he's not a Klopp player, is he? And he looked woeful against United on Monday. And you're right, the improvement of Lallana came on was immense. Supposedly a not fully fit Lallana. It wasn't so much Lallana coming up. Well, it was, because it allowed Firmino to go down the middle, and he's been a sensation this season and the latter part of last season. I had my doubts when he came into this side, but he's done everything right. So I think he'll be out. And I'll tell you, a guy that hasn't caught the attention on Merseyside, but I love him. I think he's sensational, playing out of position at the moment. But we'll see the best of him when he goes further forward. And that's Wijnaldum. I think he's been sensational. Done absolutely nothing wrong in the middle of the park. And Liverpool missed him against United. He's back this weekend. And, you know, so you can understand why Liverpool are a long odds on to beat West Brom. But there's a big but here. I can't believe that Tony Pulis, you know, he's managed some ordinary teams, hasn't he? West Brom being one of them. In his last 8 Premier League games against Liverpool, he hasn't lost a single one. That's quite incredible, isn't it? 6 of them have been draws. I mean, that's no surprise, because you know how he sets his team up. You'll have seen how Man United set the set-up against Liverpool, how they, you know, foiled and thwarted them and basically, you know, didn't give them any space. He'll do exactly the same at the weekend. And I'm going to go for a draw here at 9-2. I still can't trust Liverpool at long odds on. I can't. If I'm backing somebody at 3-10, basically I want to pass the post already. You know, that's not my kind of territory. And there's still minor doubts in my mind. When Liverpool are kept at bay for 60 minutes, and that's feasible when West Brom comes to town. I can imagine the crowd getting a bit edgy and, you know, things not quite going right. I've got my doubts about this fixture.
You say that Tony Pulis has managed some ordinary sides. He's only ever managed ordinary sides,
yeah,
Tony Pulis.
Exactly.
That's been his MO throughout his career.
Well, they weren't ordinary until he took over.
West Brom to draw then at Liverpool at Anfield 9-2. I can't see it, Tom. Can you? Can you see West Brom eking out a draw?
I can't. I mean, you know, a lot was made on Monday night of Manchester United's game plan, and rightly so. But I also did, I thought the occasion got to Liverpool. I think there was an element of them that thought, well, we're better than you, you know, going forward, and we're eventually going to find the gaps that you're going to try and, you know, sort of close out. And they just never really showed that guile, I thought, Liverpool, you know, particularly that first half, to just think, right, okay, it shouldn't have come as a surprise if it did, how Manchester United set up, and it won't come as a surprise how Tony Pulis is going to set up. The only difference here is the personnel, and you look at the West Brom side, and I know they've drawn the last three games. I know they drew against Tottenham Hotspur at home, and they've drawn away from home, but only against Sunderland and Stoke, who weren't in great form. But the likes of Evans and Fletcher in particular, they've not got that pace, and I think Liverpool will be able to pull this West Brom side around a little bit. But I agree with Derek. I think that there's something about Liverpool that and I can't really put my finger on it, and I've been trying all season, really, because when they've been great, as we've talked about, they've been sensational. But if it's not going for them, I wonder about a sort of plan B. You know, do they have the ability to mix it with a West Brom side? I think Liverpool eventually win out. I think there's too much pace, too much movement in this side. But I'm gonna back the draw, Liverpool, at 16-5, because I think West Brom will stifle Liverpool, but I think eventually they'll get over the line and get the 3 points.
That's in the double result market, just below the correct score and the match result and however or more goals in the match. That market is there, the double result market. A draw half-time, Liverpool full-time, which is 16-5. On to Sunday's live matches. We've got Manchester City versus Southampton at the Etihad first up. And Manchester City 1-2. The draw 7-2, Southampton 11-2. Enhanced odds, Raheem Sterling to score and Man City to win. Was 19-10, now 3-1. And Nathan Redmond to score and Southampton to win. Was 10-1, now 12-1. One of the more enlightening statistics ahead of this Premier League weekend, Tom, is that Southampton have collected more points in 2016 in the calendar year than Manchester City. They've got 51, Manchester City just 49 so far. And City now 4 without a win under Pep Guardiola, having been beaten 4-0 in the Camp Nou by Barcelona midweek. And Claudio Bravo, I know that Pep Guardiola insists on his keepers playing out from the back, but he's making more of an impact negatively than positively so far in his burgeoning Manchester City career.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with him telling his goalkeeper to do that. What he doesn't tell them is to handle the ball outside the box. And and I couldn't believe in midweek. I was watching the game on telly, and I think Owen Hargreaves said at the end of the game, well, it was never a 4-0. Like, goalkeepers getting sent off and handling the ball is not part and parcel of the game. Yes, it was 4-0 because that was the full-time score. And I know Manchester City played all right in the first half, and you know, I think John Stones with that chance, you know, I think he's got a Berry, he's got to hit the target with his header. Nolito had that opportunity. I didn't think they were that, but I thought the game plan was quite clever. But I think there's a frustration now from Guardiola. This is by far and away, and he hasn't had many because he's only been in charge of two great clubs before this. By far and away his biggest job. He took over a treble winning side at Bayern Munich. People try and downplay what he did at Barcelona, but you know, when you read it and look into it, he did sort of revolutionised the way they were playing. I know he had the tools at his disposal, but I think he's looking at this Man City squad and thinking, yeah, I still need 4-5 players. I think he's a bit like Mourinho. He needs another couple of transfer windows, I think, to get it exactly where he wants it. So, I don't know, it's a bit of a test of this for Man City. I love how, you know, this week everybody's kind of jumping on them. But I think if you get into them, as Celtic did, as Barcelona certainly did, although they are a one-off, Everton certainly did it last week, Tottenham definitely did it, that they're a soft touch, and that's the big problem for them. You know, they're missing that spine, that kind of company, Yaya Toure, and then Aguero in midweek. So, I don't know, I'm very, very impressed with Southampton. Do I think they can definitely get a result here? I'm not too sure, because I think Man City will respond, but I've got to look at Southampton as being one of the best defensive sides in the league, and, you know, their record is just sensational. I know they conceded against Burnley, and they were very unlucky against Inter Milan on Thursday night. You know, they were the better side, but didn't take the chances, and that's just where I think they're lacking a little bit, maybe that cutting edge. I think if they get chances, would I definitely back them to take them at the weekend? Maybe not. I'm going to go for a Man City win. I'm not going for it with a huge amount of confidence, but I'm going to play Man City on the handicap tyres to win by a goal effectively at 11-4. I think Man City will do it, but by no means do I think this is going to be a fluent performance as we've seen from them at times this season.
Do look at those match handicap markets. Scroll past the goal scorer betting and you'll see match handicap. And the tie there, Man City minus one goal versus Southampton plus one goal. So, in effect, Manchester City to win by one. Available at 11-4 here with William Hill, and that's Tom's bet. Derek, I was speaking to James Ducker, who's the Telegraph football correspondent for the Northern clubs, and he covers Manchester City and Manchester United primarily. And he was saying it was a tactical decision on Wednesday night from Pep Guardiola to leave Sergio Aguero out of that side, and that Aguero was fully fit and ready to play. I can't believe that. I was astounded that you'd leave Aguero out in such a big match.
It was a tactical decision of an imbecile then, because I actually thought they kept getting all kinds of acclaim, City, on the TV. I thought they were woeful. Their performance was like, say, Exeter in an FA Cup third round tie at a big team. This is supposed to be a team that's favourites for the title in England, going to the title winners or whatever they did in Spain last season, Barcelona, and playing like minnows. I thought it was a shocking performance, and there's been a number of them from City. They're the most disappointing side now. I tipped them for the league after the first few games. Yeah, I thought they were going to do it, but they've been so disappointing. I don't know what it is. They don't seem to have an identity. And all this business about playing out from the back, I highlighted it again after the Tottenham game. It's just playing into the opponent's hands, because they know exactly what they're going to do, and they're just pressing them, and they're making them look awful. City are looking awful right now. And one thing, Southampton aren't awful. I can't believe Southampton. I just cannot believe them. This manager, if he carries on the way he's doing at the moment, Puel, he'll get manager of the year, because you look at the team and you think, who are these players? And yet they keep going out, they keep winning. You know what? I'm looking at the 11-2. I'm a little bit disappointed that it's only 11-2, yeah. I have to say. I thought it might be able to be a bit of 7-1, maybe even 8. 11-2 is short, but your odds compilers love Southampton. They're always short on Southampton, and I'm beginning to understand why now. I'm going to go to Southampton here with a goal start. I'm not worried that they played on 30 and then they're playing on Sunday, because they played a pretty much shadow side. And they're playing so well right now. And they're playing a City side who were very, very beatable. Something not quite right at the Etihad at the moment. Southampton with a one goal start, 13-8 for me.
Southampton plus one, 13-8 for Mr. McGovern. Chelsea versus Manchester United is the big game this weekend at Stamford Bridge. 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday afternoon. And Chelsea, they have drifted slightly. They're 6-5 in the market now to win this game. They were even money when the betting opened. The draw is 23-10 with Manchester United 13-5. The enhanced odds, Diego Costa to score any time and Chelsea to win, was 9-4, enhanced to 11-4. And Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 14-5, now 4-1. Derek, Jose Mourinho obviously returning to his former club. And I wonder whether he'll set his side up exactly how he did at Anfield in that 0-0 draw with Liverpool on Monday night. Played Ashley Young instead of maybe a more attacking player like Anthony Martial, and played Ander Herrera and Marouane Fellaini as those two deep-lying midfielders. And it worked. They were good in that first half, Manchester United. Liverpool came into the game in that second half. But they had a few opportunities. Zlatan Ibrahimovic had that big chance for Manchester United. The one man that disappointed on Monday night, well, there were a couple, Derek, but one man in particular was Paul Pogba. Even though he rectified that with that performance against Fenerbahce midweek, I thought he was shocking. And one person on Twitter said that he reminded them of Carlton Palmer, which I thought was a terrific comparison, because he's gangly, almost like a two-year-old racehorse, Derek, that's not quite grown into his frame yet.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The thing is, he's shown his class before, and I'm going to give him a bit of time, because I think he's a sensational player. But he was poor against Anfield. I noticed Mourinho has been hitting back at the press, hasn't he, for their criticism of Pogba. He's calling them Einsteins, you know, who already cast judgment on the Frenchman. Well, I'm not one of them, because I love Pogba, and I'm certainly not an Einstein. My IQ came back negative the other week. But, I mean, I think there's more, you know, there's definitely more to come for him. And maybe the two goals he scored on Thursday, you know, that might give him the kickstart he needs. The question you posed a few minutes ago, will they set up like they did against Liverpool? Of course they will. That's what he does, Mourinho. I mean, he's not going to go to Chelsea and attack. He doesn't do that in these big games. Will he find Chelsea a softer touch than Liverpool? I don't think so. I think Chelsea are coming on strong now. There's a lot to like about them at the moment. I know that Costa's had his problems with the manager, hasn't he? Conte, there seems to be an undercurrent of ill feeling there, but he's still scoring goals. 6-5 Chelsea's given nothing away, though. I can see another letdown this game. It should be a crackerjack contest, but it won't be because Mourinho's involved. And I'm favouring the draw here at 23-10. I think a defeat for either side would be a lot to come back from. And let's not forget that, although Man United will appeal to some at 13-5, nearly 3-1, this is their third game in 6 days. You know, that's a tough schedule, that. And Chelsea are too short for me. I'm going to go for the draw.
Do you think the 0-0 draw, Derek? It's 7-2.
I wouldn't put anybody off the 0-0 draw.
Tom, how do you see it?
Very similar, really. I mean, Mourinho's not a manager that surprises people. So it's you know, I think ordinarily maybe other managers might sort of throw a few curveballs at Antonio Conte and maybe change his team selection slightly. But he's had to rotate his squad this week. You know, made a lot of changes on Thursday night for the Europa League game. And somebody like Pogba, he's got to get the best out of him. You know, against Fenerbahce, he was playing his weaker opposition and Pogba was roaming and he was marauding up and down the pitch. And of course, you know, he scored one fantastic goal. But against Liverpool, he's just so restricted. And I don't necessarily blame. I mean, people were giving Mourinho a lot of criticism, but I don't know what else he was supposed to do. Liverpool were sweeping aside everybody, scoring loads of goals, and he kind of had to go there and do what he did best. I did like the tweet that suggested if Mourinho had directed the film Die Hard, John McClane would have hid in a cupboard for 90 minutes and then congratulated himself for not getting shot at the end of it. I thought that summed up Mourinho absolutely brilliant. But you know, there's no criticism. I mean, I think he'll do the same. But I think the difference in this one between maybe Liverpool and Chelsea is Costa. I think he's so aggressive. He really will ruffle some feathers at the back. He's in great form. 7 goals in his last 8 Premier League matches. And I really like the enhanced odds here of a Costa goal anytime and a Chelsea win at 11-4. I just think that's the difference. I don't think Liverpool had anybody aggressive up top that really kind of got about people. And I think Costa will do that on Saturday and on Sunday. And that could be the difference.
I know, Derek, that you've said that Zlatan Ibrahimovic on this podcast this season is a myth. Going back a couple of seasons, did you say the same about Diego Costa?
Well, I still think he is.
I
don't think he's a player at all. He wouldn't, honestly. I do not see him as a proper footballer. Eden Hazard, wonderful footballer. I mean, this run Costa's on at the moment, that will end. That will end. Because if I was playing for Chelsea against, you know, token opposition, I'd be scoring a few as well. Playing them. You've got to have more as a striker in the Premier League than someone who'll score, you know, put the ball in the net. I know that sounds daft. But you look at, and I keep bringing this up, Van Nistelrooy put the ball in the net unfailingly for Man United. During his years there, they hardly won anything. It took Fergie 4 years to recognise that fact. You need more than that. And I don't think he's a good player, Costa. I really don't. I think he's an ordinary plodder centre-forward. And he'll come unstuck again, just as he did last season.
But he is that kind of battering ram. He is different. I think. I mean, I agree. I don't think he's by no means the most gifted footballer around. And there are players that offer a huge amount more up front. But I just think in this kind of contest, I just think you need someone who's prepared to do a little bit different. And maybe you know the dark arts that we talked about last season. You know, with Leicester and a few other teams. Just somebody that's going to just upset defenders. And I think that's what he does better than anybody.
He does do that. Yeah. But how hard is it to do that? You could get someone from our pub who'd do that. You're not going to get someone up from our pub who's going to be Eden Hazard. I don't buy that theory. Or someone who tries 100%. Big deal, tries 100%, goes around kicking people, bullying people. Big deal. I get that in Sunday football. That's not good football to me. Sorry.
Okay. Chelsea, what are the bets here? I've forgotten now, chaps. You're going draw, Derek. And Tom?
Yeah, maybe 0-0.
Oh, I'm definitely going Costa. Costa anytime, then Chelsea win 11-4.
Very good. On to the non-televised fixtures this weekend. All 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday. And Arsenal, shortest price on the coupon this weekend. They're 1-4 to beat Middlesbrough, who are 12-1 with the draw 5-1. Enhanced odds, Theo Walcott to score and Arsenal to win. Was 6-5, now 6-4. Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win. Was 18-1, now 25-1. This game, on the same day as Arsene Wenger's 67th birthday. So happy birthday to Mr. Wenger. He's won his two previous Premier League games that have been played on his birthday. 1-0 versus Man City in 2005 and 4-0 versus Reading in 2006. I never thought I'd see the day, Tom, either, when Walcott to score and Arsenal to win was 6-4, but it's here.
Hold on, every single week there's something to do with Arsene Wenger here. I know it's his birthday, but it feels like every single week there's some Arsene Wenger milestone. If it's how many games, how many years he's been at Arsenal, all right, we get it. This is like the longest farewell ever, isn't it? But look, there's no doubt his team are playing well. You know, his team are playing really well. They're scoring a lot of goals. I mean, the Swansea game last week in the league, it could have ended up 8-2. It could have been 3-3. And that's the kind of gamble, isn't it, with Arsenal? But look, they're up against the Middlesbrough side, who a good friend of mine is a Middlesbrough fan, and he is just inconsolable at the moment. You know, there's nothing I can say that cheers him up about Middlesbrough's chances this season. And in fact, the worst thing he's doing at the moment is he's online and he's looking at stats. He's looking through reams of stats just to try and give himself some hope. I said, go with your gut instinct. You've been watching every game. You've gone to every game this season. You know they're not playing well. And he's just staring at stats which show that Middlesbrough are in the bottom two for chances created, total shots, shots on target, successful crosses and passes in the final third. He sent me that text in midweek. He said, do you think there's any chance of an improvement? I went, no, I don't think so. Middlesbrough just aren't up to it. And the thing with Swansea last week at the Emirates is, you know, Swansea have still got that threat and the counter-attack. They've got that little bit of pace and it always kept Arsenal a little bit on the back foot. Middlesbrough will play right into Arsenal's hands. Ita Karanka's yet to show the tactical nous, really, that sets him apart. You know, the great managers or the managers that deserve a place at the top table get more out of a group of players than maybe they should do. And he's not doing that. They're so one-dimensional. They're very slow. And I don't think they're a goal threat at all for Arsenal this week. And players, as you mentioned now, Walcott, understandably so. You know, he's part of the enhanced odds. Sanchez as well, of course, has moved up top and been brilliant. I can only see a comfortable Arsenal victory, a routine Arsenal victory, and I can't see Middlesbrough scoring. So I'd go for an Arsenal win to nil. I like the look of Sanchez to really sort of fill his boots here, two or more at 4-1. But this is a comfortable Arsenal victory all day long.
Arsenal 2, win to nil, 3-4. That's available out here with William Hill. And as mentioned, Alexis Sanchez to score two or more in the game is 4-1. And Middlesbrough's only Premier League win this season, by the way, has come against bottom club Sunderland. And they've only kept one clean sheet in their last 19 away Premier League fixtures. That was away at West Brom, who probably set up for the 0-0 draw anyway. Derek, Arsenal versus Middlesbrough, 1-4 the Gunners.
Yeah, well, if you woke up on Saturday morning and you thought, I fancy backing a 1-4 poke today, well, this would be it, because, you know, it's as near a gimme as you're going to get. It sounds odd for me to say that about Arsenal, because normally, you know, over the years, I've stayed well clear of them. But it's mainly because, not because Arsenal are playing superbly well, which they are, by the way, but it's because Borough are playing against them, and they're absolutely shocking. They've got 2 points from their last 18, Middlesbrough. And if you watched them against Watford last week, you wonder where on earth those points came from. They looked as though they could have played for a day without scoring. In fact, watching the game, it felt like they did. I can't believe they're so ponderous, so unmenacing. They just never look like mustering an attack that's likely to end in a goal. And yeah, whatever Arsenal win by, it's going to be 2-0 to me. Sanchez to score is just under even money. Score at any time, 19-20. The way he's playing right now, I mean, he's a class apart, and I think he'll get that one. But I'm also going to go for Arsenal -2 at 7-4. I can see them winning this in a cakewalk.
Leicester versus Crystal Palace is next. 21-20 Leicester. The draw 5-2 with Palace 11-4. The enhanced odds, Riyad Mahrez to score, and Leicester to win was 23-10, now 3-1. Andros Townsend to score and Crystal Palace to win was 6-1. It's now 8-1. Derek, Leicester have fared slightly better coming out of the Champions League than going into it this season. And their latest heavy defeat came at Stamford Bridge last weekend. They are unbeaten in their last 19 home games in the Premier League, though. They've won 12 of those. That's the longest unbeaten run at home in the top flight since Chelsea's 21-game streak ended back in August 2015. Different proposition, Leicester, on the back of another win in the Champions League to nil.
Yeah, incredible. More points in the Champions League than they have in the Premier League this season after only three games. Quite incredible, that. And incredible also the difference between their home and away form. It's almost as if, given that they're in the Champions League and they want to do well, they know they're not going to win the league. It's as if Claudio Ranieri gives them the day off whenever they play away from home, you know, just to make things easier for them. It seems that way. The way they performed against Liverpool, Manchester and Chelsea, they were absolutely woeful. And yet they do nothing wrong at home. you know, Palace should be bigger for this fixture, shouldn't they? They're playing at the home of the reigning champions. They should be a bigger price than they are, especially on the back of a tame defeat by West Ham last week. But I'm still going to go for them, you know. I just can't be backing Leicester. People go for Leicester at these kind of prices. But there's something not right for me. And they've gone at home, but they haven't beaten anything of note, have they, Leicester? Palace, incidentally, have won two of their last three league games against reigning Premier League champions. They beat Man City in April last year and Chelsea a few months before that. You know, quite incredible that. So there's no reason they should be scared of going to Leicester, a very beatable Leicester. I looked at the fixture before I saw the price and thought, oh yes, this fits my bill. Palace away from home at a big price. 11-4 doesn't fit the bill. It's too short. But I'm going against the grain here. I think Palace will win this and I'm going to back them.
Okay, Crystal Palace for Derek. I'm surprised at that, Tom. I must admit, 11-4 Crystal Palace to win the game. Your thoughts on this?
Well, Palace have, you know, they've done really well, obviously, the last sort of few weeks up until that game against West Ham. And actually, I thought they were playing really well, and you know, I backed them a few times. But what worried me was Pardew's comments after the game. He basically said when West Ham went in front, we ran out of ideas. Well, they went in front on 19 minutes. They're at home. It's, you know, it's an all-London affair. I expected a lot more from Palace, and they weren't great. A trend that worries me a bit about Palace is where their four defeats this season have all been to nil. And I kind of look at this game, and I think it's set up between two sides who want to play exactly the same way. Ranieri's got to go back to basics in some respect. He's got to try and take Leicester back to where they were last year because they've clearly been distracted, understandably so, and even Ranieri said it himself, the priority is the Champions League. But I think what they'll want to do in this game is sit back, soak it up, and hit on the counter-attack. Well, that's exactly what Palace want to do away from home. That's been Pardew's method at Palace for a few years now, especially with the kind of players he's got. It fits the bill. He's got to get a tune out of Jamie Vardy because, you know, he's been on his book tours. He's been on all the WH Smiths around the country and signing these books. And I don't know where his head is at. So he's got to try and get a tune out of him again, Ranieri. So I think there's, I wouldn't necessarily say pressure on Leicester because they're not in a relegation fight, far from it. But they have to kind of string some results together, and they've been doing that okay at home. I'm not sure about this game. I still think Palace are in decent enough form, but I'm with Derek. 11-4. I'm not as convinced that they'll win the game. I'm gonna plump for the draw here, and I think both sides will cancel each other out. I think both sides, neither of them want the ball. And I think that could make for quite a dull game, or certainly a low-scoring game as well. I mean, my other way of playing this would be under 2.5 goals.
The draw 5-2 and under 2.5 goals. Do check that out on the William Hill website as well. That's Leicester versus Palace. What about Burnley versus Everton? Burnley 5-1, the draw 11-4, Everton 13-20. Before you all start this weekend, I'm having this one. I think Burnley, Tom, are a massive price at 5-1. Different proposition at Turf Moor than they are away from Turf Moor this season. They've beaten Liverpool and Watford comprehensively. Only a late Lauren Koscielny winner denied them against Arsenal as well. And I know Everton have played well this season. I'm upbeat on Everton as a whole, but I think Burnley are a massive price here at fives.
But Dave, Everton, no wins in the last four.
Yeah.
And the only teams they've beaten this season are West Brom, Sunderland, Middlesbrough and Stoke. Now, I think Everton are a decent side, but I'm not having, you know, I said this last week, I'm still not having that they're playing brilliantly. And I know they got the point at Man City, but, you know, there was a point at Palace before that. They only had their goalkeeper to thank and, you know, some awful penalties from Man City's point of view. Otherwise, they would have lost that game. They're decent enough, but, you know, that's the hardest test they've had away at Man City. And look, they got a point, so I've got to give them credit for that. But I'm with you there. I think Burnley at home, that's basically what they've been. They've been all right at home and poor on the road. Now, that's relegation form. You know, they are going to be in a fight right up until the very end of the season. If not, their fate could be sealed sort of by March because there's not enough in the team. But they're going to make life very difficult for Everton here. I still think Everton have the goal threat. And I think when you've got Lukaku in there, I just think he's such a threat. And especially in these kind of games, I think the big strikers against a Burnley defence that, yeah, is resolute, but ultimately when they step it up and they're playing against top level strikers, that's where they struggle. I know they lost late on against Swansea and Arsenal, they were a bit unfortunate. So people might look at this and think if they can do what they did against Arsenal, you know, they can press home for a draw and they'd probably take that. I'm not sure about the result, I'll be honest, but I am going to back Romelu Lukaku at even money any time. If a player in his kind of form, he's got 9 in 7, if he's in that kind of form, and he's around the even money mark or bigger, I'm taking it all day long. I think Lukaku will get on the score sheet, either with a set piece and a header or simply a ball over the top. But either way, he's a threat in both areas.
He scored in this fixture the last time Burnley were in the Premier League, and he's already, of course, grabbed a hat-trick on the road this season at Sunderland at the Stadium of Light. Derek, talk me out of this. I really like this price on Burnley this weekend at 5-1. I think it's too big.
It's massive. What on earth are Everton doing at 13-20? That's nearly 1-2, that. What on earth are Everton? I mean, would Arsenal be that? Arsenal played at Burnley a few weeks ago. I'm sure they were not wearing any shorter than that. I can't understand how the 13-20. They're a tidy side, Everton. They're doing okay. I mean, funnily enough, if Martinez had been manager in this fixture, I'd fancy them the chances more, because he'd probably attack Burnley and win convincingly. Under Koeman, I'm not so sure. Yeah, you're right. It's where you stand as a punter this fixture, isn't it, Dave? You know, when you look at this fixture and you think, well, yeah, Everton, they're only playing Burnley, they should win. You know, they're doing okay. It's the kind of fixture Everton, well within Everton's compass. But then you see the prices and you think, well, yeah. If you're a punter of any kind of note, you've got to be guided ultimately by odds, and it's guiding you straightforward to Burnley 5-1. It's just too big. And you know that fixture against Watford? It was on a Monday night game on the telly, wasn't it? Watford and Everton, maybe a little unkind to Everton to put them in that kind of bracket. Maybe they're a little bit better than that. But Burnley battered Watford, absolutely battered them. And let's not forget to beat Liverpool as well. Yeah. 5-1 is crazy. It's just too big. I've talked myself into it, not just you.
No, I'm with you. Burnley 5-1 looks a good bet this weekend, in my opinion. Let's move on. West Ham versus Sunderland is next. West Ham 7-10, the draw 3-1, Sunderland 4-1. The enhanced odds, Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win. Was 19-10, now 3-1. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win. Was 6-1. That's been enhanced to 8-1. And of course, Defoe made 74 Premier League appearances for West Ham between 2001 and 2003. And he's scored 6 times in the Premier League against his former club since leaving. So he's got a good record against the Hammers. And David Moyes has as well. He's unbeaten in his last 12 Premier League meetings against West Ham,
incredible,
which is an unbelievable stat, really. Derek, Sunderland now the only the second team in top flight history to fail to win any of their opening 8 league games in consecutive seasons. The only other team that's done that was Bury back in the early 1900s, 1905 to 1906. Bury did that. That is not a stat that you want on your side here.
No, and so how are they still in the Premier League? Where do they get the points from to stay up? I think, you know, like everybody's asleep late at night, they go around and steal points from somewhere and lob them in the table. Just get rid of them, please, somebody.
This is it for Sunderland. They don't survive this season.
No, they haven't. They haven't got the quality. We keep saying every week, we keep going on to Defoe. But, I mean, he can't do it on his own, and he's about a million now anyway, isn't he? I mean, I just... The thing is, West Ham are on. Oh, God. Last week I said I can't see. You know, they were in a tailspin, West Ham. They went to Palace, wasn't they? I thought, no, I can't see them even at a big price, because I just can't see how they can possibly turn it round. 90 minutes later, they turned it round. I hate this fixture. Absolutely hate it. But Sunderland are so bad that I've got to go for West Ham at 7-10.
It is tough, this one, Tom. It's one of those I looked at and thought West Ham will probably win, but 7-10. Do you want to be taking that price?
Probably not. West Ham are still for me not firing. You know, it was a good sort of hard fought victory for them at Crystal Palace last week. I think there's probably something for them to build on. And actually, Slaven Bilic probably, you know, will have been well aware of what the next fixture was. But when he sort of sat down on Monday and looked at it. It's a godsend, isn't it, to have Sunderland, you know, at home, because they need to get things going at the Olympic Stadium, because they've not played well there. They're really struggling. There's a lot of off-the-field issues, as we've discussed before, about West Ham. So it's just not a happy camp at the moment. And this is not a game that, you know, last season I'd have said West Ham, 3-0, no problem at all. But I just can't see it on this one. Again, it's a bet I've already put up today, but I'm going to go for the same one. I'm going to go West Ham to win by a goal here. I think it'll be a squeaky victory. Sunderland are so bad. Sunderland are so bad, but I don't necessarily see them collapsing against a non-firing. They're not fluent yet, West Ham. So I think West Ham do it, but I think it's a terribly edgy game.
West Ham 7-10 to win the game, but do look at West Ham to win by a goal in the match on that handicap market. That's West Ham -1 versus Sunderland +1, and it's 13-5 here at William Hill. A penultimate game at the KCOM is Hull versus Stoke, 19-10, Hull to win the match. The draw 12-5, with Stoke in the betting at 6-4. The enhanced odds offers Robert Snodgrass to score and Hull to win was 4-1, enhanced to 6-1, and Wilfred Bonny to score and Stoke City to win was 17-5. It's now 5-1. Tom, you mentioned all those Middlesbrough statistics earlier on. The one that stands out as far as Hull are concerned is that they faced at least 30 more shots than any other Premier League side this season. 184 shots they faced in total. And they've lost their last four Premier League games, conceding 17 times in the process. I'd want a bigger price to be backing Hull here.
I think Hull, the body language of the players probably said it all. You know, it's nonsense, isn't it? All that talk amongst the players and, you know, we're fighting for Mike Phelan and he's done this and he's done that. As soon as he gets the job, you know, they just down tools at Bournemouth. I mean, they were absolutely disgraceful, actually, last week. When you watch some of those goals back, and I know they were highlighting them on Match of the Day, but players were just strolling around. And I know if you're 3-0 down or 4-0 down and you think, oh, the game's over, it might be difficult, but... You know, you're in a fight, lads. You know, you're going to be in a fight all season, like a lot of teams, and you need to show a lot more. And I don't necessarily think that character's there. You know, there's the takeover is edging closer at Hull, and maybe that's on people's minds. I don't know, but Hull aren't a team I could be backing at the moment. You know, they're conceding a huge amount of goals, and, you know, the seasons are probably going in different directions, aren't they? Hull started all right and are dropping quickly. Stoke are just slowly climbing on that road to improvement. You know, a couple of decent points for them at Manchester United, and, you know, they got a point at West Bromwich, kind of just got the ball rolling. And then that victory over Sunderland, which, again, these are just wins that they want to get through. And I think Mark Hughes would probably look at the next few fixtures and say Swansea at home after this, West Ham away, Bournemouth at home, Watford away. And he'll think, yeah, I fancy my chances of really picking up some points here. But they've got to win this game. I think they do. You know, you've got to look as well at Stoke's four defeats this season. You've got to put them into context. They've come against teams in sort of the top half, the top nine, Man City, Spurs, Everton. You know, decent sides. And look, I think Stoke win this, but I don't necessarily think we'll see goals. Again, I'm looking at kind of an edgy game where teams need results. And the last four Premier League games between these two has produced just four goals. So I think it's definitely an unders game. But I think I'll go for a Stoke win under 2.5 goals at 7-2.
Yeah, it's a nice price, that. 7-2 Stoke to win and the unders in the game. Derek?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at as well. You know, the correct score group, Ben, I look at it for every match, you know, on the Hill's website, and I always think there's some tidy prices there, and then come Saturday, I forget about it, and you just go for the 90-minute result. But Stoke to win 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1 is 5-2. Mm. Yeah, so, you know, it brings in the 2-1 result, unlike Tom's recommendation. And yet, I like that. Stoke will win this one. 6-4 in its own right, to be honest, is a decent bet. They're going up. They're going in one direction. And we know which direction Hull are going. They're a much better side. You look at the squad and player for player. I know that doesn't mean a hill of beans generally, but there's goals in that Stoke side, and you can't say that on the Hull side. I think 6-4 is way too big, by the way. But I'll go for it. I'll be a little bit more intrepid and go for that correct score group betting 5-2. Stoke to win 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1.
Just to segue very slightly here, chaps. Hull, Middlesbrough, and Sunderland to go down.
Well, both pre-season I backed Hull to be bottom at Christmas, and I backed all three promoted teams to go down. So damn Sunderland and David Moyes for being as bad as many predicted, because I think they might scupper that. But yeah, I think they're in deep trouble.
Our last game is Swansea versus Watford. Swansea 13-10, the draw 23-10 with Watford 9-4. Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 3-1, now 4-1. Isaac Success to score and Watford to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. We've also got Odion Ighalo there to score and Watford to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Derek, Swansea's last six games have been Chelsea, Southampton away, Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal. So it's not a major surprise they're without a win in that spell. This is Bob Bradley's first game in charge at home. First game in charge, of course, was last week at the Emirates. They lost that game 3-2. I think he's going to be... I got a feeling he's going to be a successor at Swansea, Bob Bradley. I think he's a manager with a lot of experience. And they actually had six shots on target last week, which is their most in a Premier League game since the opening day of the season. Watford won at Middlesbrough 1-0, but they were bullied at Turf Moor in the league recently.
Well, that's it.
And I can see them being bullied here.
Well, these are the two of the teams I can never catch right in the Premier League. There's another 18, by the way. Those two performances you just mentioned by Watford there, they were woeful against Burnley in that Monday night game. And then they go and win a similar fixture, quite tidily. You know, you don't know what you're going to get from them. Swansea, they haven't won a home Premier League fixture in the last five. Okay, that's excused a little bit by the calibre of the opposition they've been facing. This is a lot more within their liking. But they're only finishing to 10, and they don't win often enough for me to be back at those kind of prices. This is a killer of a fixture. There's no punter on earth would have a hard and fast opinion on this matter. It could be any result. I'm going to play safe. It's the biggest price to draw, and it's highly likely 23-10 to draw.
The draw for Derek, Tom?
I would agree. I'm going to go for the draw on both teams to score here. I mean, even Swansea's fixtures that they've had, and you reeled them off, Dave, they've played some top sides, but they've scored in most of them. It's only the trip to Southampton, who've got this incredible defensive record in which they didn't manage to find the back of the net, and I thought they were positive against Arsenal. Arsenal were kind of wide open, and Watford in particular, I cannot get a handle on. You know, they win last week, and there are players arguing at the full-time whistle, up at Middlesbrough. I mean, having a right go at each other. I think I'm never somebody who kind of believes that you need a core of British players or of a certain nationality or anything like that. But I almost think there's too much of a mixture in that Watford squad. And they never seem happy. They never seem a united group, even though they've had some results. And actually, I think they prefer it when things are against them. Because if you actually look at the makeup of a lot of the players, most of them have been kind of rejected by bigger clubs. And for example, the victory they had at West Ham, which was probably one of the more impressive ones because they came from two down, was that kind of Troy Deeney kind of inspired them because they were up against it and they thought West Ham was showboating and everything else, and they fought back. And I think when things are going against them, I think they're a good side. I think Manchester United at home, other team, maybe playing against better sides at Vicarage Road, I'll back them. But in this kind of fixture, I don't think they get themselves up for this kind of game. But Swansea, I can't be backing them to win it either, so I'm going to go for a draw. And I do think both sides have goals in them. That's very much been the order of the day for both these teams over recent weeks. And that defeat Watford had at Burnley, they were physically battered by Burnley. Set pieces. I mean, Sean Dyche just lobbed the ball into the box. Swansea won't do that, but they've got pace. They'll get after them, and Bob Bradley will be desperate to get a first on win and pull themselves out of the relegation zone. But I think Watford are maybe good enough for the draw. I'm going to go for the draw on both teams to score. But if you're unsure of the result, I think goals in it, and again, backing the both teams to score at 4-6 is not a bad play either.
That 3-1 is available for the match result and both teams to score and the game to end in a draw. So 3-1 in that market. Now, chaps, we've got to pull our socks up here collectively. The calls to scrap the Naps table have fallen on deaf ears. It continues in earnest this week. I did promise you an update as well, so I'll give you that. Tom, you're -7 for the season. I'm -17 for the season. Derek, you're -£59.50 for the season. I didn't think you'd had a winner yet, Derek, so I'm
secretly, publicly I'm saying it's disgusting. Secretly, I'm heavily relieved.
Who wants to go first this week?
I will then, because I need the win. There's three fixes I like. Tottenham to win at Bournemouth, I like that. I'm toying with Palace to win at Leicester at 11-4, but I'll go for the safer one, because I do need to get a win under my belt. Stoke 6-4 to win at Hull.
Stoke to win at Hull 6-4 for Derek. Tom?
I really like Tottenham, and I'm very tempted to put them in, but I think Arsenal, given the form that they're in at home against a toothless Middlesbrough side, I'm going to go for Arsenal -2 at 7-4.
Arsenal -2 at 7-4 goes into the treble this weekend. You know what? I'm going to be outlandish here, intrepid, and I'm going to just take Burnley to win this game. Burnley at 5-1 to beat Everton this weekend. I know that's one that, Derek, you quite liked as well.
Yeah, you know what? That normally, if I'd have had a few winners under my belt and I wasn't showing a hefty loss, I'd have gone for that. But it's one of those where, like the whole game last week, you could end up looking silly on it, couldn't you? And I can't afford to do that 2 weeks running.
It's all about timing.
Okay then, chaps, the treble this weekend. Stoke at 6-4, Arsenal -2 for Tom at 7-4, and I'm going Burnley to beat Everton at 5-1. 40 0.25-1 the treble this weekend. I'd like to say it's got a chance, but if recent evidence is anything to go by, it's not. But do play that treble. We're going to turn it around at some point this season. Derek, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Make sure you download this podcast via iTunes or check out all William Hill's podcasts at audioboom.com. And myself, Tom and Derek will be back next weekend. If you're having a bet on the Premier League, good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.